The Art of Living a Life You Love, Chapter 6. Your communications control the quality of your life. The quality of my life depends on the quality of my communications. Tony Robbins. How do you feel about your communication with yourself? How do you feel about your communication with others? The quality of your communications controls the quality of your life. Luckily, because we can control how we communicate with ourselves, we also have the ability to influence the quality of our communication and relationships with other people. Every part of your life can be better than it used to be when you decide to make it your ongoing goal to improve as a communicator. Do you let your emotions control you? By paying attention to your self-talk, you can direct your focus, which will help you control your feelings. Do you feel misunderstood, unheard, or afraid to tell people how you feel? Focusing on becoming a better communicator will help you feel more confident and better able to clearly express your feelings and thoughts. Improving your communication pays great rewards. We can each make the decision to pay attention to our communication with ourselves first and then with others. We can feel happier and get better results if we make it a habit to notice what we say, how we say it, and when we say it. Communicating with yourself. Feeling good, feeling cheerful and full of positive energy has a great deal to do with what you say to yourself and how you say it. How you talk to yourself changes how you feel, which changes how you communicate. I've decided to make this my mantra. What I say and how I say it create how I feel and what I do. Saying this reminder to myself several times during the day helps me remember the feelings I want to create within myself with my self-talk. How we talk to ourselves can help us feel good, inspired, encouraged, and energized, or feel bad, uninspired, discouraged, and tired. For example, if I say to myself, "Rise and shine, start it up brand new," with enthusiasm and a cheerful voice, I feel like jumping out of bed to begin a brand new day. If I say to myself, "I should get up now, but I want to go back to sleep," in a tired and unhappy tone of voice, I feel like sleeping all day. Pay attention to what you say to yourself, the words, and also how you say them. By paying attention to how you feel when you talk to yourself, you can decide if it's time to make some new and better choices. The greatest amount of time we spend talking is the time we spend talking to ourselves. Most of what we say is silent, and we're the only one who hears it. People who say they never talk to themselves are probably thinking, "Talk to myself? I never talk to myself, do I?" We all do it. However, some of us are more aware of what we're saying to ourselves, and we know we are talking to ourselves every time we're thinking. The power of positive self-talk. One way to improve your self-talk is with short, positive statements called affirmations. Louise Hay taught me how to do affirmations, and I've found them to be helpful in changing my habits regarding my self-talk. Some people may think they don't work, but what you say and how you say it does make a difference. For me, they have been very helpful. Please note that affirmations without any action will not change your life. For example, if you create an affirmation that says, "Every day I'm getting thinner and stronger," it will only come true if you start taking actions that will help bring about those changes. But when you consciously choose what you say to yourself, it can make a big difference in how you feel and what you do each day. Action is what creates changes in your life, and what you say and how you say it can inspire you to take the necessary actions. If you just say the words without taking action, it will never work. In fact, if you affirm things that you know are untrue, and you are just waiting for things to magically change by talking about it, you can actually cause yourself to do more of what moves you away from your goal or desired outcome. Positive self-talk, when combined with action, will help you achieve your goals. If you combine action with positive affirmations and also you statements, it will take you to your desired behaviors or outcomes. Let your chosen self-talk inspire you and remind you. For example, when I say to myself, "You tell the truth with courage, kindness, grace, and love," it reminds me that I can choose to tell the truth with courage, kindness, grace, and love. My you statements are inspiring and they are all based on truth. They help remind me to take actions that create my desired outcomes. It's important to remember that whatever we tell ourselves and believe can come true. Say to yourself, "I can do it," and move toward your goals at your own pace. Our minds move us in the direction of our dominant thoughts, whether those thoughts are about what we fear or what we love. The important thing to remember is to focus on what you love. Our minds move us in the direction of our dominant thoughts. Think about things you want to be, do, have, give, and live. If we focus on what we fear, we move toward what we fear. If we focus on what we love, we move toward what we love. Who are you listening to right now? Stop and listen to the voice in your head. Is it telling you to focus on fear, or is it reminding you to focus on love? In her books, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, and also Feel the Fear and Beyond, psychologist and author Susan Jeffers teaches people to become aware of what she calls your higher self and your lower self. As she says, your higher self is focused on love and is positive. It looks for the good or the benefit in every experience you have in life. The lower self is focused on fear and is negative. It looks for the bad that can happen and does its best to keep you from trying new things. Susan Jeffers says that she named her lower self Chatterbox because it seems to chatter at her and tries to keep her small and fearful. I suggest naming both your higher self and lower self and then noticing which one is talking to you before you try something new. I decided to name my higher self Joy and my lower self Jinx. The two names came to me one morning while I was out walking. Joy focuses on love. She focuses on learning, growing, gratitude, giving, and having fun. Jinx focuses on fear and staying the same or wanting to be like someone else. Jinx worries and fears and is very serious. Listening to Jinx causes me to feel afraid to try new things. Jinx warns me that if I try to do something new, I might look foolish or sound foolish or fail. Jinx seems to show up when I want to do something new that would be really exciting. Jinx wants me to stay inside my comfort zone. I've learned I need to stop listening to Jinx and ask myself questions that cause Joy to show up. Joy reminds me that making mistakes is just part of learning and that whenever I try new things, I'll make some mistakes. Joy reminds me that it's okay to make mistakes and to just learn from them and keep going. Jinx, my inner critic. Jinx is basically an inner critic that tries to keep me from taking actions that move me toward my heart's desires, dreams, and goals. When I hear Jinx talking to me, I can ask what she fears and then listen to find out what I can learn from what she's afraid of. Jinx wants to control people and wants to make them approve of me. Jinx also wants to believe that she can control outcomes by keeping me from taking action. But when I let Jinx stop me from taking action, nothing gets done. Jinx tries to help me by keeping me inside of my comfort zone, but doing that just keeps me from being and enjoying all that is possible for me. Jinx is also the voice of my ego, and she wants to be right. Jinx focuses on weaknesses and on what is hard for me. Jinx worries about failure, pictures the worst that might happen, and thinks about what's wrong instead of what's right. Joy, my inner ally. While reading Cheryl Richardson's book, Stand Up for Your Life, I learned about having an inner ally. Cheryl suggests writing you statements from your inner ally. Most of us are familiar with the voice of our inner critic, but what about the voice of an inner ally? What I realized as I read about having an inner ally is that joy is like a friend inside of me who wants to see me have fun and create my heart's desires. Joy loves to learn, and so when I begin to listen to Jinx, I like to ask myself, what is the lesson in this for me? And how is this serving in my own evolution? And what do I need to know? Questions like these help me learn and remind me to listen to joy. We all need to be true to ourselves to feel good and be happy. Since joy is my inner ally, she likes to encourage and inspire me to be myself and to learn at my own pace. She knows that what I think of myself is what matters most, and she reminds me to do things that make me feel good about myself. Joy reminds me that when we are learning, we'll make mistakes, and to remember to focus on what I learn and what I want to remember to do next time. As I've said before, joy is also what I call my spirit. Joy wants me to enjoy learning, growing, and becoming more of who I want to be. Joy wants me to be happy, so she reminds me to focus on my strengths and be grateful for the strengths of other people. Joy reminds me to expect success, picture the best that can happen, be playful, and think about what's right and what I can do. As my inner ally, joy inspires and encourages me to keep taking actions, to keep learning from my actions, and to continue to move toward and achieve my goals. Examples of what joy, my inner ally, says to me. You are a great mom, role model, and friend. You tell the truth with grace and love. You speak your truth clearly and with confidence. You have fun while talking to groups of people. You are warm golden sunshine helping people learn and grow, helping them remember things that they know. You sound like warm golden sunshine when you speak and when you sing. You are warm golden sunshine in the lives of all who are in your circle of influence. Do you see why I feel good when I listen to joy? Listening to joy makes me feel inspired to take action, to keep learning, growing, and becoming more of who I can be. When I look back over my list of you statements by joy, it's clear to me that they are all part of who I am and who I know I can be. It's up to me to make the choice to listen to my inner ally and to stop listening to my inner critic, Jinx. Either voice can become true depending on which one I let guide me. Listening to joy's voice guides me toward achieving my heart's desires, dreams, and goals. I can decide to listen to joy and ignore what Jinx tries to tell me. For some crazy reason, most of us tend to listen to and believe our inner critic instead of our inner ally. What makes the voice of our inner critic so easy to believe? The following chart shows examples of how you can tell whether you're listening to your inner critic, your ego, or to your inner ally, your spirit. Your inner critic, Jinx, focuses on negative thoughts, fear, ego, being right, weak areas, failure, picturing the worst, what's wrong, being loud, talking a lot, lecturing, taking psychological error, limiting choices, rushing and unfocused, wanting you to be like other people. Your inner ally, joy, focuses on positive thoughts, love, spirit, being happy, strengths, success, picturing the best, what's right, being quiet, listening a lot, learning, giving psychological air, freedom of choice, being calm and focused, encouraging you to always be yourself. Perhaps the reason our inner critic is so easy to believe is because we hear other people telling us what we do wrong and how hard, or even impossible, it would be to do what we dream of doing. And maybe, for them, it would be hard or even impossible. But each of us has our own strengths and talents. Trying to strengthen your weak areas may sound like a good idea, but it can be very frustrating and hard to do. But focusing on your strengths is empowering. Focusing on your strengths means that you're doing things you enjoy, things you love to do. And when you focus on love, it strengthens you. When you focus on what you hate doing, because it's boring to you or of no interest to you, it weakens you. Doing what you love energizes you and empowers you. Joy at Shasta Lake. Listening to joy helps me have more fun. An example of this happened when we decided to go water skiing on Shasta Lake. Jinx told me that it had been too long since I had been on water skis. Luckily, I asked Joy and she said, "You love to water ski because it's fun. You love zipping along on top of the water while watching the spray from the wake of the boat and the beautiful views of Shasta Lake with its red dirt shore and tall green trees pointing toward the deep blue sky. Feel the excitement and do it anyway." I'm glad I listened to Joy because it was fun. I got right up on the skis each time and loved every minute as I glided along on top of the water. And by listening to Joy, I was able to show our son, Xander, and our friend, Bill, how to water ski. They both learned very quickly and had lots of fun during their turns. The day was fun because I made the choice to listen to Joy. Perfect day, thanks to Joy. Another example of listening to Joy was when I got the chance to sing with a microphone for the first time during a family reunion. We were on vacation at our family's home in Northern California. My husband and son were planning to rehearse a few songs to perform at the family reunion. My husband plays guitar and sings. Our son, Xander, plays keyboards and guitar and sings. And my cousin, Mike, brought his drums. My husband and son decided they wanted me to sing the song Perfect Day by Hoku from the movie Legally Blonde. Why? Because I love the movie and the song is one of my favorites. Joy reminded me that I just want to sing because it feels good and it's fun. Jinx kept telling me to forget it, that I would look foolish and it would be too hard for me. Jinx wants me to only sing if I can be the best singer in the world, which isn't my goal. But the more my husband and son encouraged me to sing, it got easier to listen to Joy so that Jinx's voice faded away. Every time I noticed myself starting to listen to Jinx, I asked Joy what she had to say, and she told me to feel the excitement and do it anyway. Singing at the family reunion was a good feeling, and I will remember it forever. Next time I might choose an easier song to sing, but what I know for sure is that I'm really glad I listened to Joy. Know the power of words. Whether we are listening to an inner dialogue or talking with others, our words have the power to shift feelings. Words we choose can create very different results. For example, some words can inspire, encourage, and create joy. But notice that there are also words that can cause fear, discouragement, and emotional pain. Words are powerful, and by noticing how words make you feel, you can begin to make conscious choices of words that inspire, encourage, and create joy. Words can nourish your mind, your spirit, and energize you. Are you getting nourishment from your mind, emotions, and spirit from the words in your life? Or do you feel depleted by being with people who use words that are harsh, negative, and toxic. What kind of words do you share with the people in your life? Are they words of kindness, love, encouragement, and inspiration? Or are others hearing words from you that are mean, discouraging, or critical? The words in your life can lift your spirits or drain your energy. I have learned to be very aware of the power of words and how they can make me feel. Because I'm very aware of how good or bad words can make me feel, it's my intention to notice the words I read, the words I hear, the words I see, and the words I contribute by writing, singing, or speaking. Words can shift your feelings. Words can shift how we feel. A better word can create a better feeling. In fact, just by changing the words you use, you can transform how you feel about things that happen in your life. Words truly have the power to change how we feel. For example, if you say to yourself, "I'm angry," you begin to feel angry. And if you keep saying it, you can cause that feeling of anger to grow. If you substitute a different word for the word angry, you can lessen the intensity of the feeling and sometimes even create different feelings for yourself. For example, if you say, "I'm ticked off," it softens the feeling, and if you say, "I'm really annoyed," it might even make you smile. Following is a list of disempowering words: afraid, confused, frustrated, I dislike, I hate, overwhelmed, stressed. Following is a list of empowering words: excited, curious, fascinated, challenged, I like, I prefer, blessed, energized. The chart on page 126 of the book has examples of words that feel disempowering to say and words that feel empowering, which can be used instead. Try changing the words on the left to the empowering words suggested in the right column and see how they feel to you. I learned about the power of words we choose to use in the book Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. If you're curious to know more about transforming your words, I'm sure you'll enjoy reading what Tony Robbins has to say in the chapter titled The Vocabulary of Ultimate Success, which also has a long list of good words that can be changed to great words. By noticing the words you use by habit, you can begin to replace the words that disempower you with words that empower you. Just by changing a few of the words you habitually use, you can raise or lower your emotional intensity so you'll create more of the outcomes you desire. Stop for a few minutes and think about habitual words you use that weaken you. On the lines in the book or on a notepad, write 3 disempowering words you use most often, and then write 3 empowering words you'll use instead. Following are examples of how I filled in the blanks. 3 words that disempower me are 1. Overwhelmed, 2. Confused, 3. Afraid. 3 empowering words I'll use instead are 1. Challenged, 2. Curious, 3. Excited. When you remember to pay attention to the words you choose, it can change your frame of mind in just a moment and help you feel like taking action. What new words will you choose to use? What is your metaphor for life? Another way we can influence how we feel with the words we use is with metaphors. Think how differently you would feel about life with each of the following metaphors for life. Life is a party. Life is a game. Life is a gift. Life is a mystery. Life is sacred. Life is short. Life is hard. Life is fun. Tony Robbins says metaphors can empower us by expanding and enriching our experience of life. Unfortunately, though, if we're not careful, When we adopt a metaphor, we instantaneously also adopt many limiting beliefs that come with it. It's wise to notice what metaphors you habitually use to describe how you feel about life. Some metaphors expand our enjoyment of life, and others place limits on the level of joy or success we can feel. For example, saying life is fun reminds us to look for the fun in all that we do. Saying life is a gift can remind us to value every day, think of life as a gift, and reminds us to savor our present moments. Communicating with others. Are your communications with other people creating the outcomes you desire? What you say and how you say it can create good feelings or it can create bad feelings. The words you choose, the tone of voice you use, the volume of your voice, the way you emphasize certain words, and the softness or harshness of your voice, along with the expressions on your face, all work together to create feelings in the people who are listening to what you have to say. Blah, 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 ginger. An example of how tone of voice can make a big difference is shown when talking to a cat or a dog. The only word most animals understand is their name. Have you ever seen the Far Side joke about a dog named Ginger? The only thing the dog in the cartoon hears is, blah, 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 Ginger. If you say bad things to a dog in a good tone, the dog will react as if you said something good. Dogs and other pets just hear the sound of your voice and react or respond to the sounds they hear. If you speak to them in kind and gentle tones, they feel like you're being kind and gentle. People also respond to the sound of your voice, more than they do to the words you're saying. Your tone of voice can actually change the meaning of the words. By paying attention to the results you get, and that other people get from the way they communicate, you will begin to get better at making choices for how to create the outcomes you desire. Be a student of how people use their words and their voice. Be especially aware of how they say things and the results they get. Notice how they combine the words they use. Notice what words they use and how they use them. You can also use the following reminder. How I say it is most important. Saying this reminder to yourself several times during the day can help you remember to pay attention to how you're communicating. For the next week, pay close attention to the words you choose to use and how you say them. As I mentioned earlier in this chapter, you can change the way you feel by choosing a different word. For example, you can replace the word frustrated with the word fascinated, or replace the word confused with the word curious. Notice the results you get when you communicate in your habitual ways. Notice the results you get when you consciously choose the words you say and the way you say them. How we say it especially means the tone of voice we use, the speed of our voice, and the feelings of love, passion, excitement, inspiration, and gratitude that can enhance the words. There are still plenty of times when I catch myself saying things to people that I later regret. When does it happen? It happens whenever I speak without thinking about what words I use and how I'm saying them. Being a better communicator is an ongoing goal I know will be with me as long as I live. An amazing set of statistics. In his book, Vocal Power, voice coach Arthur Joseph says that 92% of how our message is received comes from how we use our voice, facial expressions, and other body language while we're talking. What this means is that when we talk to people in person, or even in a video, the words contribute only 8% of the message. 37% of the message comes from the way we use our voice, and 55% comes from our facial expressions and body language. As I said before, what we say does matter. However, how we say it greatly influences what people feel about what we're saying. Often the way we feel has to do with how a person looks at us, if they smile or frown, if they're comfortable, nervous, or relaxed. Their tone of voice adds color to the words being said, and body language brightens or darkens the colors. Before I began to study the differences in communication styles, I would say that how was being heard by me only on a subconscious level. It seems safe to say that most people are unaware there is so much power in how they use their voice. While some dispute whether the percentages in the graph in the book are true, it's important to remember how much we communicate with our tone of voice and our voice volume when combined with how excited, relaxed, or tense we appear to be. Percentages for visual spoken communication. 8% verbal, the words you choose and how you use them. 37% vocal, how your voice sounds, tone, volume, speed, pitch, vocal variety, enthusiasm, excitement level. 55% visual, face and body, facial expressions and body movement, relaxed or tense, nervous or calm. How made a big difference. I remember a time when how I said something to my son made a big difference in how he felt about what I had to tell him. It was the end of summer, just before he was to start second grade. All summer long, he had been telling us that he wanted to get a certain teacher for second grade. I had met the teacher and liked her too. When I found out that he had gotten a different teacher, one I'd never heard anything about, I called the school and found out she was thought to be excellent. I decided to do what I had just learned to do, sound excited about the new teacher. Instead of saying what I might have said in the past, something like, "Xander, I'm sorry to have to tell you that you didn't get Miss B." I got myself as excited as I could and said to him, "Xander, guess what? You got Mrs. W. for second grade. She's a really great teacher. You're lucky that you got her." He picked up on my excitement, how I said it, and began to feel good about having her as his teacher. It turned out Xander did enjoy the teacher he got for second grade, and his dad and I liked her too. The whole year started on a positive note because of how I gave him the news. That experience always comes to mind when I need to tell people news that could be disappointing to them. If I first see the good in a situation, it helps me sound excited and helps me share my enthusiasm with the other person. I'm thankful for all that I've learned about how to be a better communicator. The quality of my communications is something I intend to keep improving as long as I live. As I've said before, I truly believe the quality of my life and the quality of my relationships are in direct proportion to the quality of my communications. Do you react or respond? Obviously, what other people say to you and how they say it are outside of your control, but how you respond and how you feel are within your circle of control. When someone says something that sounds mean or harsh or critical, you can make a choice to react to it, or you can choose to respond to it. If you remain calm and focus on your tone of voice and choice of words, you can often turn a potential argument or hurt feelings into a learning experience for everyone involved. What you say to yourself and how you say it can make the difference. For example, I remember when I had a chance to test my ability to stay calm and positive while attending a new writing group. One of the class members wrote a long essay about things that he hated and thought were stupid. It was very obvious that a large part of his anger was directed at me because he spent a few pages talking about how much he hated self-help books and some of the authors that I like to quote. I decided to stay calm and focus on asking him, in a kind tone, what self-help books he had read that were so terrible. He answered that he couldn't remember their names. In the past, I would have let the situation upset me and would have reacted to his harsh words. It felt great to handle the criticism with kindness and courage. Why should I let his opinions upset me? Everyone has a right to their opinion, and I have a right to mine, too. Thanks to what I've learned about communication, it has become much easier to feel good about how I respond to people who are full of anger or resentment. By focusing on staying in a positive, calm, and kind frame of mind, I'm able to sound that way and feel good. I have learned that the sound of my voice is something I can control. By paying attention to what I say and how I say it, the sound of my voice, the choice of my words, the speed, tonality, and volume, I have been able to improve both my voice and my results. It is worth the time and effort required to become a better communicator. How do you feel about the quality of your communications? Do you feel good about your communications with yourself? Do you feel good about your communications with other people in your life? Do you feel good about your communications with the great Creator, God, and/or the universe? The quality of your communications in all of these areas is within your circle of control. When you say it, the words we choose to use have an amazing power to create or destroy our chances of getting the outcomes we desire. The power of our words is really about how we use our ability to make choices. If we want to create outcomes we desire, we must notice the choices we make regarding the words we use, and we must also notice how we say them. The third thing is sometimes the hardest one for me, and that is when we say things. Making a choice to wait for a better time to say something can cause the words you use and how you use them to succeed or to fail. Timing is very important, so pay attention to it. When you say something really can make a huge difference in the outcome you create with what you say. I had been so focused on what I say and how I say it that I needed to remember that when is also extremely important. Two examples showed up. The first came from my brother while he was working in our office. I went to work feeling very angry because our pet rabbit had torn a hole in my favorite cotton pajamas. While I was feeling upset and angry, my brother started saying, "I told you it wasn't a good idea to have a rabbit as a pet." When he said it, made me feel the desire to get away from him. Usually I enjoy talking with my brother and we have had a lot of great conversations. This was a great reminder for me of what, how, and when, causing the outcome to be a desire to get away as fast as possible. He didn't notice that my spirit needed him to wait for a better time to give me his opinions and advice. Now I'm glad it happened because I can still see, hear, and feel the lesson so well. The second example of when being extremely important in the outcome we create came from my writing coach. She called me a week after a class I'd had with her and just before our next class. I had been feeling excited about going to the class, and when she called, I expected her to tell me something good or perhaps tell me of a change in the time or day for the class. She said that she wanted to tell me before class that night that she felt I'd been too talkative during the last class. But I couldn't even remember what she was talking about since I hadn't thought about it all week, as she obviously had done. I felt hurt, confused, and paranoid. I felt like she must have wanted to tell me this for a long time. After I hung up the phone, I started to cry as my inner critic, Jinx, began to tell me, "You always talk too much because you get excited and she means you do it all the time." I went to class that night feeling upset, paranoid, and like I should quit going. The way I felt would have been different if she had told me right when it had happened, either after class or by the next day, because it would have been easier for me to remember what I had done so I could learn from my mistake, focus on a specific time, and remember what I would do the next time. It had been when she said it, a full week later and right before class, that caused me to feel so paranoid and helpless. Telling the truth is important, and when you tell it is just as important as how and what you say. What I learned was to tell people how I feel as soon as possible if their behavior has caused a problem for me and or other people. By communicating about it while the memory is fresh, the person can learn from what they did and focus on remembering what they can do better next time. After class, my writing coach apologized for telling me right before the class. We both learned that it's good to tell people how you're feeling as soon as possible. I'll always remember that important life lesson. Being a better listener pays great rewards. In The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, author Stephen Covey teaches about making deposits in relationship bank accounts with the people in your life by seeking first to understand. By seeking first to understand, it helps you be a better listener. Most people seem to do it backwards. They seek first to be understood and then maybe to understand. What I know now is that being a better listener pays great rewards. When I really listen to people, it helps me understand them, what matters to them, and what they need me to do for them. Seek first to understand suggests we listen. Really listen. With our ears, eyes, and heart. It means listening for feeling and for what might have been left unsaid. Repeat back to the person what you hear them saying. Repeat the meaning of what they are saying rather than just the words they're choosing to use. Really listening to people gives them a feeling of trust, that you care about them, and it shows them that you want to understand their feelings, their desires, and even their fears. By really listening to people, you give them what Stephen Covey calls psychological air. He says that feeling understood is what gives people the air they need to feel good and enjoy talking with you. As an example, if you went to a doctor and he or she didn't listen to you, you'd feel untrusting of their diagnosis. By seeking first to understand, the doctor can find out how you are really feeling so he or she can help you with the real problem. Being a better listener is an ongoing goal for me. It has helped me have better relationships with my friends, my family, and my clients. Another benefit of being a better listener is I feel good about myself when I'm giving people the chance to express their feelings without any interruptions from me. Please notice that I'm saying to be a better listener. When I aim for being a perfect listener, I set myself up for failure. But being a better listener is always possible, and it helps make listening fun to do. The better I get at listening, the closer I feel to the people in my life. And an additional benefit is that the people in my life seem to have become better at listening to what I have to say. Perhaps because I've listened to them first. Listening is something most of us can do better just by deciding to make it a priority. Being mindful of the way it feels to be understood helps you remember to give the person who is talking your complete attention. Life can get so busy that it can seem hard to sit still long enough to listen, but doing so will pay great rewards. Being a great listener makes people feel good about their relationship with you. It also helps you learn from the experiences, both good and bad, that other people have had in their lives. I've noticed that the more I listen, the more I hear things I need to know. Listening carefully to what people say to you makes them want to do the same for you. To get the best results from listening, it's important to listen with an open mind and an open heart. Listening non-judgmentally helps people feel safe to tell you things that they would never tell someone who is quick to judge them. For me, listening is easier to do when I'm feeling relaxed and centered. Timing can make a big difference in your ability to listen well. If you're feeling stressed and in a hurry, be honest with people. Tell them you want to plan a time to talk when you have time to really listen to what they have to say. We all have times when we are trying to do too many things at once. By stopping for a minute and noticing that you're too busy to listen, you can tell people and plan a better time to talk. Friendship therapy. The gift of time to talk with your friends is precious. When I take the time to see my treasured friends in person, I feel better about myself and about the connection I feel with them. By spending time with friends, talking and listening, caring and sharing, you learn more about them and they learn more about you. Sharing stories about what you have been doing, learning, thinking, and feeling is like having friendship therapy, and it feels wonderful. By giving friends a chance to tell you how they feel, you create a deeper bond with them that makes each time you talk with them a better experience for both of you. I've heard it said that good conversations are like a tennis match, but usually the ball comes hard and fast in tennis. Playing catch with a big, soft ball would feel better. It is slow enough that you're able to savor the moments and enjoy the whole experience. Some people talk so much that it's like watching them practice golf. They hit the ball, and then they hit it again and again and again, without ever letting you hit the ball. Be sensitive to the fact that a conversation means talking and listening. Notice when you are hitting too many balls without giving others a turn. Being with people who do all the talking makes us feel like they don't care about us. They may say they care, but their actions and behavior say something quite different. How we behave is our choice, and when we choose to talk without listening, we're making the choice to show people we only care to talk. Balance is the key. If you only talk, people you're with may never have a chance to be heard. Being understood feels good. Listening helps you understand what others are thinking, feeling, and saying. Next, it's time to be understood. In order to be understood, you need to talk. If you only listen, the people you're with never get to know what you think or how you feel. When you talk, you need to be honest about how you feel and what you believe is true. Telling the truth is important because if you lie, people will never know the real you. It's also important because telling the truth builds trust. When you lie, it destroys trust, and that trust is sometimes never given back to you. To feel understood, you need to talk, and you need to tell the truth. Just remember you can do it with courage, kindness, grace, and love. How you do it makes a big difference. Even when you are telling the truth with grace and love, it can sometimes hurt someone's feelings, but they will know they can trust you to tell them the truth. Being with people who hide the truth to spare your feelings makes it impossible to trust them. The magic of total truth letters. Are there some people you need to tell the truth so you can feel good again? Do you have a hard time telling the total truth in person? It can be hard to remember all of the things you're feeling when someone is staring at you and reacting to what you're saying. You can forget your main points. If you have feelings of anger, hurt, fear, and/or sadness that you need to let go of, I suggest you try writing what is called a total truth letter. I learned about doing this type of letter from Barbara DeAngelis and Jack Canfield. They both suggest writing this type of letter in order to tell the whole truth about how you feel. Whether or not you decide to send the letter, it can help you work through all of the levels of your feelings you have about the person and the situation that is upsetting you. Sometimes just writing the letter is all it takes to feel good again. Listen to your heart and do what feels right for you. Writing this kind of letter has been helpful in my life because when I feel upset, it's hard for me to remember all that I need to say. For example, there have been several times in the past when I felt the need to write one of these letters to my husband. Some of the letters I have given him to read, some of them I have read to him, and some of them have helped me process my feelings and feel good again without even giving him the letter. The letters work like magic because they help me remember what I'm grateful for, what I intend to do, and what I love about him, after writing about why I feel upset, hurt, afraid, and or what I regret doing. The reason these letters work so well is they help you start at the top of the iceberg and work your way down through all of the feelings you have about what the person did and how you feel about their behavior. Total truth letters start with your feelings of anger, then what you feel hurt about, then what you feel afraid of, and then you follow those parts with any regrets you feel, intentions you have, and then finally, what you feel grateful for, and what you love or like about them. I have written several of these letters to work through feelings of anger or hurt and get back to feeling good again, and for me, they work like magic. If you want to learn more about this powerful way to go from anger and hurt to love and gratitude, you might want to see Barbara DeAngelis's video, Making Love Work, or listen to Jack Canfield's tapes, Self-Esteem and Peak Performance. Both authors have good things to say about this type of letter for working through your feelings. For those of you who just want to try writing about your feelings, you can make a copy of the template on page 142 of the book. Just start with anger, go through all of the feelings, and finish with love. If you would like to write a letter instead of using the template, you can use the following suggestions to help you get started and to guide you through the feelings for each section of your letter. Where I say blank, fill in the blank with how you feel. 1. Write about your feelings of anger. I feel angry when you blank. I feel upset when you blank. 2. Write about why you feel hurt. I feel hurt when you blank. When you blank, I feel hurt. 3. Write about your fears. I am afraid that blank. When you blank, I feel afraid that blank. 4. Write about your regrets. I regret blank. I'm sorry that I blank. 5. Write about what you intend to do. I intend to blank. Next time, I will blank. 6. Write about what you feel grateful for. I feel grateful that you blank. I feel grateful for learning that blank. 7. Write about why you love and or like the person. I love you because blank. I like you because blank. In some cases, you may want to send the letter, give the letter to the person, or perhaps read them the letter. As I've said before, when you feel upset, it can be hard to remember all you want to say or express. There may be times when you just need to write about what you're feeling so you can release any negative emotions you feel and remember what you've learned. Note what you intend to do differently because of what you have learned, and remind yourself of what you feel grateful for and what you do love, like, and appreciate about the person. If you write honestly about each feeling, I feel certain you will enjoy the process and the way it makes you feel about the situation, the other person, and most importantly, how good it makes you feel about yourself. From there, you can get back to a focus on gratitude, love, and what's good about the other person. The only way for people to truly understand each other is to tell each other the truth. Total truth letters can help you tell the whole truth in a kind way. Telling the complete truth with courage and kindness helps people feel that you care about them. When a person feels you care, it helps them hear what you're saying. Following is the Total Truth Letter template from pages 142 and 143 in the book. Total Truth Letter template. Anger. Blame and resentment. I feel angry when... dot, dot, dot. I hate it when... dot, dot, dot. It frustrates me when... dot, dot, dot. Hurt, sadness, and disappointment. I feel so sad when... dot, dot, dot. I feel hurt when... dot, dot, dot. I'm so disappointed when... dot, dot, dot. Fear, insecurity, and wounds. I'm afraid that... dot, dot, dot. It scares me when... dot, dot, dot. This reminds me of... dot, dot, dot. Regret, understanding, and responsibility. I'm sorry that... dot, dot, dot. I regret... dot, dot, dot. I understand that you feel... dot, dot, dot. Intentions, solutions, and wishes. I want to... dot, dot, dot. I intend to... dot, dot, dot. I hope that... dot, dot, dot. Love, forgiveness, gratitude, and appreciation. I forgive you for... dot, dot, dot. I appreciate... dot, dot, dot. I love or like you because... dot, dot, dot. Create more rapport by matching and mirroring. Another helpful thing I have learned about creating rapport with another person is that it's important to pay attention to their style of communication. Once I notice how they communicate, I can try to match my communication style to theirs. This is called matching and mirroring. There are many good books, videos, CDs, and audio recordings that can help you learn more about this method called Neuro-Linguistic Programming, or NLP. For now, I'm going to briefly describe what to do so you can begin to understand why this is so powerful. People who are able to create rapport with a wide variety of others usually match and mirror whether they're aware of it or not. Have you ever noticed that when you're enjoying a conversation with someone whose communication style is similar to yours, you feel a greater rapport with them? It feels good to talk with them because they seem so much like you. The quality of my life, my relationships, and my feelings are all in direct proportion to the quality of my communications. Tony Robbins. When you're talking with someone you feel close to, it's natural for you to match and mirror each other. The challenge comes when you're talking with someone whose communication style is very different from yours. There isn't enough room in this chapter to cover this thoroughly, but I would like to share with you a few small bites of what I've learned to be aware of in order to create rapport with a wider variety of people. We all have three main modes of learning and communicating: visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. People tend to favor one of the three and to use it most often. If you observe what people say and how they're saying it, you can begin to understand which of the three modalities they tend to favor and which they're using while talking to you. The following lists describe some things to notice about how a person communicates. Visual, talks very fast. Words are usually about visual things. For example, looks good to me. Energized and likes to get things done quickly. Can be exhausting for kinesthetics. Auditory, talks with a varied pace, vocal variety. Words they favor are about hearing things. For example, sounds good to me. Middle range of volume with variety. Energized and calm. They aren't super fast or super slow talkers. Kinesthetic. Talks very slowly. Words they favor are about feelings. For example, feels good to me. Quiet. Sometimes hard to hear. Calm. Visuals may want to try and speed them up. We're all VAX. Remember, we are all VAKS. We all use all three modalities, visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. But people tend to favor one as their main style and might use one of the other two in situations that bring out that aspect of their personality. The people who are most able to inspire us, encourage us, and cause us to like them and like what they say or do appeal to us in all three ways. We like how they look, visual. We like how they sound, auditory. And we like how they can make us feel, kinesthetic. By developing our ability to be all three consciously, we can communicate more effectively with a wider range of people. For the next few days, pay attention to how people tend to communicate. Keep in mind that sometimes a person will be more visual, auditory, or kinesthetic in their way of communicating. Sometimes this can be because they feel tired or sad or excited. Just notice how they are communicating and follow their lead like you would if you were dancing with them. If they are angry or sad, you can begin to lead them toward feeling better by first creating rapport. Watch, listen, and feel. Then pause and respond to what they say. Practice matching and mirroring. You'll be glad you did. Try doing the following seven things during the next week. 1. Notice what words you choose to use. 2. Notice how your voice sounds. 3. Notice how you respond. 4. Pay attention to when you speak. 5. Listen first to understand and then speak to be understood. 6. Talk less. 7. Listen more. Communicating with the Great Creator. What I say and how I say it makes a big difference in how I feel all day long. If I wake up and say, "Good morning, God," or "Good morning, life," I feel good as I start my day. How do you start your day? Do you wake up and say, "Good God, it's morning," or do you like to say, "Good morning, God," or "Good morning, life," to begin your day? I've found that having time to be silent and listen to what my inner being is trying to tell me helps me know if I need to make changes. It also helps me remember what's going well and what I feel grateful for in my life. Writing my morning pages, meditating for 15 minutes, exercising, and showering all give me time to listen to what my inner being is trying to tell me. For more details about morning pages, refer to Chapter 1. Walking also helps me feel good and allows me to listen to what my spirit needs in order to feel joy. While out walking one morning, I heard these words: "The more I listen, the more I hear what I need to remember." Those words are great reminders that listening is a powerful way to remember what matters most to you. Listening helps you remember what you've learned, what you need to do, what you enjoy doing, what you're here to learn, to give, and to teach. Listening helps you remember what is most important to you and why you're here on this beautiful planet called Earth. Following are some reminders from Joy about listening. The more I listen, the more I hear what I need to write that can help other people live a life they love. The more I listen, the more I hear Joy tell me what I'm meant to do and who I'm meant to be during this lifetime. The more I listen, the more I hear my spirit, Joy, tell me what feels good and what feels bad to me so that I can make better choices. The more I listen, the more I hear what I need to remember, know, realize, do, say, change, or be grateful for as it is right now. The more I listen, the more I hear what God, the great creator and artist, wants me to do to help make the world a better place for all who are in my life and in my circle of influence. Quality communications help you create a life you love. My intention is to help you notice some of the things you can do, choices you can make, that will help you create better outcomes with what you say, when you say it, and how you say it. I've given you many things to think about in this chapter. I hope you'll play with the ideas that sound helpful to you right now. I say play because if you have fun becoming more aware of what you say, how you say it, and when you say it, you'll be more likely to keep doing it. Sounding cheerful feels good. Another thing that has helped me be a better communicator is to make it my ongoing goal to sound as cheerful as I can at all times. My goal is to sound like warm golden sunshine when I speak and sing because it feels so good. To sound cheerful requires that you feel inspired to be cheerful and to spread that feeling to other people. I want my voice to sound cheerful, positive, warm, encouraging, and to be able to cause people to feel good when they hear me speak and when they hear me sing. I am the first to admit that there are times when it's a challenge for me to sound cheerful. But the more I focus my attention and my energy on what I'm grateful for and on how I can help other people feel better about themselves, the easier it gets for me to sound like sun and to encourage, inspire, and energize people with my voice. I believe you'll find that sounding cheerful feels good and makes life more fun. Model great communicators. Pay attention to how people communicate. When you observe someone doing an outstanding job of communicating, notice what they say and how they say it. Model the ways they use their voice, the ways they combine words, the sound of their voice, or any part of what they do that you want to develop as a habit. I've modeled many of the things that have become habits for me from people who are inspiring communicators. Louise Hay, Cheryl Richardson, Wayne Dyer, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, Earl Nightingale, Stephen Covey, Sonia Choquette, Julia Cameron, and Oprah Winfrey have all been mentors for me in being a better communicator. I'm thankful for what they have taught me. They are great mentors and treasured teachers in my life. If you want to improve the quality of your life, I suggest writing helpful quotes and reminders on some 3x5 cards or sticky notes. Place them where you'll see them throughout the day. Put some of the reminders wherever you spend time, in your kitchen, bathroom, at your desk, in your car. Once you adopt the belief that the better you get at communicating, the better your life will be, you'll be on your way to becoming a better and more effective communicator. Quality communications help you create a quality life. Becoming a better communicator will improve the quality of your life, your relationships, and it will help you create outcomes you desire in all parts of your life. You may want to make Tony Robbins' quote your mantra. The quality of my life, my relationships, and my feelings are all in direct proportion to the quality of my communications. Every day there are opportunities to practice listening and speaking. When you make it your ongoing goal to be better at both listening and speaking, to be a better communicator, your life keeps getting better. Communication truly is an important part of creating and living a life you love. In the next chapter, we'll talk about how the people in your life influence you and how you influence them.